Reverend Gloria Hicks McLaughlin. Welcome, and I'm glad that you tuned in today to God's Word Life Source Ministries podcast at godsword.eprn.us. March is Women's History Month, and in recognition of Women's History Month, today's presentation is on Ida B. Wells Barnett. Ida B. Wells was born on July 16, 1862, in Holly Springs, Mississippi, of slave parents who ensured that she was well educated for the time and that she developed a firm faith anchored in the Methodist Church. She was the founder of the National Association of Colored Women and a founding member of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, thus the NAACP. She was well known for being a radical, anti-lynching journalist. She was once quoted as saying, "I felt that one had better die fighting against injustice than die like a dog or a rat in a trap. And I had already determined to sell my life as dearly as possible if attacked. I felt if I could take one lyncher with me, this would even up the score a little bit." When Ida B. Wells was 20 years old, she bought a first-class train ticket going from Memphis, Tennessee to Woodstock, where she had a job as a teacher. When the train conductor came to the car to punch tickets, he politely informed Miss Wells that she was in the wrong car and she needed to move, and he could not accept her ticket until she moved. Ida insisted that she knew exactly what car she was in, and it was not the wrong one. She and the conductor engaged in dialogue. Court documents quotes her as saying, "He said to me that he would treat me like a lady, but I must go into the other car. And I replied that if he wished to treat me like a lady, he would leave me alone." Even this exchange was not warning enough for the conductor. And in her own autobiography, Wells wrote, "The conductor tried to drag me out of my seat, but the moment he caught hold of my arm, I fastened my teeth in the back of his hand." This was indeed a story of self-defense, and perhaps it could have ended there. However, it was said that Ida could not leave well enough alone. So when she got back to Memphis, she found herself an attorney and sued the railroad company for $500. Which was equivalent to about $11,000 in 2015. Now, can you imagine what that might be equivalent to today in 2021? She sued and she won. The railroad company was ordered to pay Wells $500, but the verdict was later appealed and overturned in the Tennessee Supreme Court, because haters are going to hate. The lawsuit generated so much public interest that Ida wrote about it in a weekly publication for Black Christians. Publication was known as The Living Way. This kick-started her writing career. She used her new platform to call out Memphis establishments that supported segregation. Separate but equal policies weren't working, and she was not ashamed to say so. And now we're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to another segment in the life of Ida B. Wells. And that segment is entitled The Courageous Life of Ida B. Wells by Christina Greer.
In March of 1892, three black grocery store owners in Memphis, Tennessee, were murdered by a mob of white men. Lynchings like these were happening all over the American South, often without any subsequent legal investigation or consequences for the murderers. But this time, a young journalist and friend of the victims set out to expose the truth about these killings. Her reports would shock the nation and launch her career as an investigative journalist, civic leader, and civil rights advocate. Her name was Ida B. Wells. Ida Bell Wells was born into slavery in Holly Springs, Mississippi on July 16, 1862, several months before the Emancipation Proclamation released her and her family. After losing both parents and a brother to yellow fever at the age of 16, she supported her five remaining siblings by working as a school teacher in Memphis, Tennessee. During this time, she began working as a journalist. Writing under the pen name Iola, by the early 1890s, she gained a reputation as a clear voice against racial injustice and became co-owner and editor of the Memphis Free Speech and Headlight newspaper. She had no shortage of material. In the decades following the Civil War, Southern whites attempted to reassert their power by committing crimes against black people, including suppressing their votes, vandalizing their businesses, and even murdering them. After the murder of her friends, Wells launched an investigation into lynching. She analyzed specific cases through newspaper reports and police records and interviewed people who had lost friends and family to lynch mobs. She risked her life to get this information. As a black person investigating racially motivated murders, she enraged many of the same Southern white men involved in lynchings. Her bravery paid off. Most whites had claimed and subsequently reported that lynchings were responses to criminal acts by black people. But that was not usually the case. Through her research, Wells showed that these murders were actually a deliberate, brutal tactic to control or punish black people who competed with whites. Her friends, for example, had been lynched when their grocery store became popular enough to divert business from a white competitor. Wells published her findings in 1892. In response, a white mob destroyed her newspaper presses. She was out of town when they struck, but they threatened to kill her if she ever returned to Memphis. So she traveled to New York, where that same year she republished her research in a pamphlet titled Southern Horrors, Lynch Law in All Its Phases. In 1895, after settling in Chicago, she built on Southern Horrors in a longer piece called The Red Record. Her careful documentation of the horrors of lynching and impassioned public speeches drew international attention. Wells used her newfound fame to amplify her message. She traveled to Europe, where she rallied European outrage against racial violence in the American South in hopes that the U.S. government and public would follow their example. Back in the U.S., she didn't hesitate to confront powerful organizations, fighting the segregationist policies of the YMCA and leading a delegation to the White House to protest discriminatory workplace practices. She did all of this while disenfranchised herself. Women didn't win the right to vote until Wells was in her late 50s. And even then, the vote was primarily extended to white women only. Wells was a key player in the battle for voting inclusion, starting a black women's suffrage organization in Chicago. But in spite of her deep commitment to women's rights, she clashed with white leaders of the movement. During a march for women's suffrage in Washington, D.C., she ignored the organizers' attempt to placate Southern bigotry by placing black women in the back and marched up front alongside the white women. She also chafed with other civil rights leaders who saw her as a dangerous radical. She insisted on airing, in full detail, the atrocities taking place in the South, while others thought doing so would be counterproductive to negotiations with white politicians. Although she participated in the founding of the NAACP, she was soon sidelined from the organization. Wells' unwillingness to compromise any aspect of her vision of justice shined a light on the weak points of the various rights movements, and ultimately made them stronger, but also made it difficult for her to find a place within them. She was ahead of her time, waging a tireless struggle for equality and justice, decades before many had even begun to imagine it possible. If you were inspired by Ida B. Wells' fight for equality, check out this playlist for more videos about influential women throughout history.
In 1895, at the age of 33, Wells married Ferdinand Barnett, who was a prominent attorney, and was thereafter known as Ida B. Wells Barnett. And the couple had four children together. At some time during one of her public speeches, she was noted as saying, "I honestly believe I am the only woman in the United States who ever traveled throughout the country with a nursing baby to make political speeches." Working on behalf of all women as part of her work with the National Equal Rights League, Wells called for President Woodrow Wilson to put an end to discriminatory hiring practices for government jobs. Wells also created the first African-American kindergarten in her community and fought for women's suffrage. In 1930, she made an unsuccessful bid for Illinois State Senate. Wells died of kidney disease on March 25, 1931, at the age of 68, and she lived in Chicago, Illinois at that time. Ida B. Wells Barnett left behind an impressive legacy of social and political heroism. And with her writings, speeches, and protests, Wells fought against prejudice no matter what potential dangers she faced. A poem dedicated to Ida B. Wells, excerpt from Mental Pearls, a book of original poems by Betty Ola H. Fortson. Betty Ola H. Fortson. Published by Julius F. Taylor in 1915. The title of the poem is Queen of Our Race. Side by side with whites she walked. Step after step the Southerners balked. But Illinois, fond of order and grace, stuck to the black queen of our race. Page after page in history will read of one who was ready and able to lead, who set the nation on fire with her pace, and the heroine will be the queen of our race. The closing song is entitled Don't Turn Back Now. It's an at-home performance for the NAACP.
Turn. It's a great feeling seeing your Chime app notification on your mobile device. When you receive direct deposits in your Chime account, you're in total control of your finances. It's banking without the fees. Sign up with my referral link and you and I receive $50.
What?
That's right. You and I receive a referral bonus of $50 after sign up and direct deposit activation. Use referral link chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. That's chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. It's that simple and it's free. It only takes about 2 to 3 minutes to complete, and you'll be on your way to being in total control of your finances. You'll start building a positive reflection of your credit history, and that will really make a difference. Referring friends and family to the Chime family is one of the most financially rewarding experiences anyone could have. Sign up today. Chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.